Now, the New Zealand Golf Open in Queenstown, on in Queenstown, and there's controversy over New Zealand's two major golf opens getting $5.5 million of government funding over the next 3 years. In terms of value for money, the government's own briefings apparently suggest expected returns lower than those that would be expected at the requested level of investment, as they phrase it. Do you reckon there is anything much in it? First general question, anything much in it for New Zealand paying to stage golf opens? What's your view, please?
I personally do not see any value to New Zealand to paying to stage events like golf opens. I also am slightly confused that why we have to pay to stage a golf open. I mean, the rationale for this event is it will attract well-paying tourists and business people.
Yes.
Charge more for tickets.
The other thing too is something like a golf tournament, particularly in Queenstown, would have coverage, worldwide coverage, and they'd see a beautiful side of New Zealand. That's the rationale that they use.
Right.
And that's very tricky to put a figure on that sometimes, how much that would generate. There is quite a number of people that do come to this country, a large number, to play golf. And in fact, my friend who's in the entertainment industry has got a gig. He's also a Mad Keen golfer, taking like 13 Swedish people around as we speak to different golf courses for like 2 weeks. They
but
all pay to come out
are
here.
These keen golf fans all over the world going to watch an insignificant open with few players that they know?
Well, I guess the stats would tell you that, the viewing figures. I don't know the answer to that, but if they have the viewing figures. Now, what you say is interesting. If it doesn't match up, though, by their own criteria, that is the issue. If it's going to be, you know, 500 million people watching, rock on.
The viewing figures seem hard to come by.
Yeah.
Jonathan Coleman says it stimulates interest from people who want to visit New Zealand. And as you've just interestingly told us, 61,000 golfers came to New Zealand last year and supposedly put $329 million into the economy, which means 167 people a day have come to New Zealand and played golf here today,
yeah,
not including the New Zealand Open, somewhere in the country.
But it's an interesting point, though, because this is where I get a conspiracy theorist. On another station that I work on, there was a big hoo-ha about Joseph Parker fight and the money, you know, with the government put up the Joseph Parker fight. And the call was, because it's a blue-collar violent sport, that no, they didn't. And there was all sorts of hoo-ha and, you know, Duco events were putting their hand out for money that, you know, blah, 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 blah. There's nowhere near we're a little mentioning it on this show, but there's no need the furore for this. It was for the, you know, is it because that people play golf or, you know, wear nice suits and talk to businessmen and know politicians well that things, something like this gets put through with a great deal of ease, whereas it was a great deal of gnashing and teeth and stuff and it was boxing?
Part of that was opposition to the sport of boxing itself, wasn't it?
Well, the sport's either legal or it's illegal.
Was part of the mix with that one.
Possibly, but that it shouldn't. I agree with you. But the government shouldn't be making a moral decision on whether they like a sport or not like a sport. You know, I go further and just think that it's, you know, a lot of business deals and a lot of politician type people play golf, and you know,
do they still, do you reckon?
Yeah,
I mean, some people, you know, say
Donald Trump's where he says where he does all his business. No, it's not a great
but that's
example, but
I mean, I know there are lovely courses in New Zealand and they've developed some really nice ones in recent years, but a lot of people think that a lot of them are going to be gobbled up for housing because of the decline in
we numbers, have more golf courses per capita than any other country in the world.
Do we?
Yeah,
but I do not believe that golf is the sport of the downtrodden working classes.
No, it's not.
Although it may be more accessible here than in other countries.
Yes, no, that's certainly true.
Yeah.
Economist Dr. Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative is joining us. Good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon.
So you've maybe heard a bit of the discussion. This investment's based on the supposition that seeing, you know, Queenstown's fabulous scenery, as Andrew said, stimulates, I think, what's being called a level of visitation. Do you reckon that's right?
Well, they've always had problems in this kind of work, trying to figure out how many people come to New Zealand because of having seen something like this, and how many were going to come here anyway, and might have just changed the timing of when they decide to show up. So if we're thinking about visitors coming in for a golf open, how many of them would have come sometime in the year anyway and just brought forward their visit to coincide with an event that they might enjoy, because they'd always been planning on coming here and just decided to strike when the event is on. And how many of them are actually new visitors that wouldn't have come otherwise. And similarly, for people who are watching the game and then decide to come, how many would have come regardless? It's really tricky for them to figure out, and the government's pretty good at coming up with highball estimates on this stuff. The other worry comes in around how much of what's measured as an economic impact or the spending that's associated with an event is a real benefit. So if a hotel room were otherwise going to be empty and unoccupied, all of the visitors spending in that hotel room is a benefit to the hotel owner. But in other cases, well, barring the incremental costs of cleaning the room compared to having an empty one, but for other stuff like meals in restaurants or going out and doing other things that involve some real cost or buying things at retail establishments, you've got to net out from it the actual cost of providing those services.
Right, so you can't attribute it all to golf, that return. And the major events development funds meant to have as a criterion for investment, I think, a return of $4.50 for every dollar spent. So that is hard to quantify.
Well, it's hard to quantify, and you want to make sure that you're focusing really on like the profits that accrue from a visit rather than just total spending. It's easy to measure total spending, well, easy-ish. The better measure would be on profit that wouldn't have otherwise obtained, and they've not had a great time of trying to figure that one out.
Just because business people fly in from Asia, does that result in them loving New Zealand and doing deals to the benefit of us all? Because that's cited as well, and I wonder if that's also hard to quantify.
That'd be hard to quantify, and it's hard to get out of surveys, too. So suppose you've got an event that draws in both domestic and foreign visitors, although there's been some skepticism about how many New Zealand CEOs are really going to take that much time out to go and follow a golf tournament when they're all pretty busy. But say that you survey them coming out of a corporate box for one of these things, although I guess golf doesn't really have corporate boxes in the same way as other events. But you survey a couple of them coming out, and you ask them, did you guys do a business deal while this was going on, and say yes. Is that something that would have happened at some other time if they'd gotten together for coffee instead of just meeting up at the golf event? Sometimes these are just excuses for these guys to get together who would have gotten together anyways at another event, and we treat the whole thing as being new activity that wouldn't have happened but for the event, because you survey them coming out saying that they got a business deal out of it, when they would have, well, they'd been working on it for some time previously. They just decided to have their meeting there.
It was the magic of golf that clinched it.
It's unlikely.
You've mentioned hotels. Just before you go, and thank you for your analysis of that, Dr. Eric Crampton's with us. The economic fairness of Auckland, by the way, paying for its tourism promotion by increasing the rates for hotels and motels. And Central City hotel rates will increase on average by 150%, some facing hikes of more than 250%, although it's not said to be adding much to the overnight bill per person staying there. The fairness of that, because that's been criticised today, Eric, and it's an interesting kind of...
It's an interesting mixed bag.
Yeah.
So if we're thinking about things like spending on tourism promotion for Auckland... Think about like prior events like the Parker for boxing matches or sailing races. There's usually a pretty big push from the tourism sector saying that lots of government money should be going into this because of the wider economic benefits. A model that has the tourism sector, the parts that are closest to coalface on it, where, like the hotels, that get both a say in whether money gets spent and also have to put some of the money up, should force a bit sounder decisions around whether something really is delivering value for money. On the other side, there are legitimate worries where, like, if the hotels are picking up only a small part of it and there are flow-on benefits for restaurants and maybe some retail, there's been a bit of a ham-fisted implementation, and there you start worrying about whether that risks other kinds of targeted rates that do also make sense.
Yes, the quid pro quo is that the hotels will now have a say in ATEED.
Yep.
Spending. But the criticism is that, you know, accommodation accounts for 10% of tourism spending, retail's 30%, and I think cafes and restaurants 17%. So the accommodation sector gets 10% of the direct benefits but is being asked to pay 100% of the cost.
Okay, that's a fun one too. Now, I've not checked any of those numbers, so I'm just going to take them as given. But the proportion of a visitor's spend won't be the same as the proportion of profit. So again, I gave my hotel room example when we were talking about Queenstown and the golf. If you've got a hotel that has an empty room, getting a new guest in there is almost pure profit. There's a little bit that they have to spend for cleaning up the room, and maybe the guys at the front desk are a little busier than they otherwise would be, sure. But it's mostly gravy. If you've got some additional spending in a retail environment, well, they had to buy that product, right? And they're on selling it. So there's some incremental profit of whatever their markup is. That's going to be a much smaller fraction of the visitor's expenditure than the visitor's expenditure in the hotel. Mm. So if we're thinking again on profits on expenditure rather than share of expenditure being what we should be thinking about, then we'd be looking back to hotels again. But that's also another fun one, because with a lot of these events, like with the Adele concert coming up, it's impossible to get a room in Auckland. We've got an event coming up in Auckland from our outfit, and trying to get room bookings for people who are going to be going to it.
So they're making lots of money.
Well, some of the assumptions on which these economic impact studies are predicated are based on that there's just spare capacity and it's not crowding out other uses. But it's obviously crowding out other uses right now, eh?
Yeah. Interesting analysis. Thank you, Eric Crampton.
Does Adele company get $5.5 million to bring Adele out here, government money?
I don't think Adele's getting $5.5 million of government
money. Why not? She's doing great things for tourism.
Because she's going to make a huge profit on her concerts.
Okay.
And all of those tourists will slow everyone down, at which point Adele should have to pay a fine for loss of productivity based on the guy who hit the overbridge.
The traffic, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, because traffic will probably slow down through Auckland on that day.
It all weaves together.
Yeah. No, you keep bringing it back to the original story. You can just delve into these topics and these analyses, economic analysis,
forever,
as far as you like.
Yeah.
It seemed to me, reading the analysis of the Gulf economic benefits, that even the most positive reading of those economic benefits, it failed to deliver on what the AT are charged with delivering.
And then you get philosophical debates like, okay, $5.5 million or the 30-odd million that was the America's Cup, and they talk about the trickle-down effect. What about that 5.5 or whatever million would have gone to America's Cup being golf schools for kids, and we build and employ golf coaches, and doesn't that go through the economy as well? Like, what is the biggest benefit to the economy and to us socially if we took that 5.5 million, we pay for a lot of golf coaches, maybe to take golf into deprived schools that don't normally get golf, you know, maybe we build facilities that employs people, and we have golf teachers that employs people. Why is the money not spent there if it's been spent on golf?
Why is the money just going into a taxpayer-funded jolly for rich and powerful people?
So you can bend you can bend economic benefit to your own advantage, yeah?
Well, why is it? Yeah, there's different ways of having economic benefit.